Hello, everyone. This is the CircuitPython weekly meeting for August 25th, 2025. This is the time of the week where we get together to talk about all things CircuitPython. My name is Tim. I am sponsored by Adafruit to work on CircuitPython. CircuitPython is a version of Python that's designed to run on tiny computers called microcontrollers. The CircuitPython development is primarily sponsored by Adafruit, so if you want to support Adafruit and CircuitPython, consider purchasing hardware from adafruit.com. This meeting gets hosted on the Adafruit Discord server, which you can join anytime by going to adafru.it/discord. We hold the meeting in the CircuitPython dev text channel as well as the CircuitPython voice channel. The meeting typically happens Mondays at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, except when that coincides with a U.S. holiday. I will note, though, we are currently on a every other week schedule, so we're doing every other Monday at the same time that was noted before, 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern, 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific, and we are going to continue on with that. So when we had started it, I think we mentioned the end of August as when we might switch back, but we did decide to extend that a bit further. So we're going to keep going with the every other week, every 2 weeks meetings on Mondays. There is, and I'll have a reminder as well at the end of the meeting too. There is a shared notes document to accompany the meeting and the recording. You can contribute to the document beforehand. The final notes document includes timestamps to go along with the video, so you can skip around to view the parts of the video that interest you most. The meeting tends to run 30 to 60 minutes, sometimes a little bit less, sometimes a little bit more. It depends on how many folks we have for our round robin sections. You can always find the docs link, the link to the document, in the CircuitPython dev channel here on Discord. If you look at the pinned messages, the top one in there is always the link to the upcoming meeting. So you can find that document and update it throughout the week or throughout the two-week cycle, if you know, as long as we continue this one as well. You don't have to wait until Mondays to put stuff in there. You can do that whenever you think of it. The meeting gets held in five parts. The first part will be community news. We'll look at all things CircuitPython and Python on hardware. We'll see a couple items out of the Python and Microcontrollers newsletter. The second part is the state of CircuitPython, the libraries, and Blinka. That one is a quantitative overview of the entire project. We will look at some stats related to overall, the core, and the libraries, and Blinka. After that, we will get into our round robins, first up being the Hug Reports. That one is an opportunity to highlight the good things that folks are doing. We can take a moment to recognize awesome folks in our community and beyond. The fourth part is status updates. That is our second round robin, where we go around the room, so to speak, down the list of folks as they appear in the document. And when I call on you, you can take a moment to tell us what you've been up to for the last couple of weeks since the last meeting and what you'll be up to over the next couple of weeks until the next one. The fifth and final part is in the weeds. That one is an opportunity for some more long-form discussions. Those can either come out of status updates or have topics that are identified ahead of time as too long for status updates. If you do know of an in-the-weeds topic or you think of one while we are doing the meeting, please go ahead and write that in the document down in the weeds section. Just put a little bullet point with your name and then write out a bit about whatever you would like to discuss. And then once we get down there, we will call on you to discuss that. So with that, we will get into community news. I will take the first timestamp here. Oop, I pressed the wrong button. There it is. Okay. First up this week, let's see here. Yeah, I'll tell you more about the newsletter where all these things came from at the end. Let me fix my timestamp since I have stalled now. First up is the item controlling microcontrollers over USB with the web serial API. Microcontroller boards such as Arduino, Raspberry Pi Pico, and ESP32 can be connected to various LEDs, buttons, and sensors. Many of these boards have a built-in Wi-Fi chip, which allows for remote control. However, sometimes Wi-Fi is not possible, is too complicated, or is simply unnecessary. Cohen Vervolsalem, my apologies if I have mispronounced their name, does this with CircuitPython, which supports hundreds of microcontroller boards. Make sure to choose a board with USB CDC support. They have successfully tested the project on the Raspberry Pi Pico W, the Arduino Nano RP2040 Connect, the Seed Studio Zhao SAMD21, and the Seed Studio Zhao Internet 52840. I thought this one was pretty cool. If you are interested in making a microcontroller that interfaces with a web page, that's what this is all about. This same technology, the web serial API, I believe, is what underpins some of circuitcode.circuitpython.org. So I thought this was cool to see it featured in the newsletter, as well as some of the basic projects that you can make with simple buttons and switches and things to turn on and off lights and do other various bits with your microcontroller. So check that out if you are interested in controlling microcontrollers over USB from web page. Next up, we have CircuitPython Web Workflow, OTG, on the go. So this is, let's see, it says here, you can use your phone as a hotspot, auto-connect to it from the CircuitPython device, and then use Web Workflow to access files and the serial console. There are links here to GitHub and Mastodon with this one, and it's pretty straightforward. This person wrote up a little guide about being able to connect to Web Workflow using the hotspot provided by the phone, which I thought was a nice workaround, and shows how you can really, in a pinch, out in the world, so to speak, you can do some CircuitPython programming on your phone. Certainly not the most convenient to type on the screen and everything, but if you need to get a quick change in your code, this was a really cool way that showed how to do it. Next up is FruitJam OS is out. FruitJam OS is now available after heavy development by the community. It provides an operating system environment for the FruitJam. It uses links to a number of programs, the full list of which can be found in the newsletter this week or the FruitJam OS guide. If you would like to participate in development or add your own apps, you can check out the Adafruit, and there are links here to GitHub, Discord, and YouTube. GitHub, the FruitJam OS repo would be where you go if you want to take part in development. And then, of course, Discord, we're here throughout the week to discuss all things development as well. And then lastly, from the newsletter, this one caught my eye as well, the PicoPad Frogger game. This was just a quick example of a game that someone created with CircuitPython. It's a version of the classic game Frogger. This one is on a PicoPad and written in CircuitPython. It was linked on X. So I thought that was a really neat little game. All right. So all of these items have come from the Python on Microcontrollers weekly newsletter, which is a CircuitPython community-run newsletter that gets emailed every Monday. The items in this are pulled together by our very own Ann Engineer. Thanks to her for working so diligently on this from week to week. The complete archives are available at adafruitdaily.com. It highlights the latest in Python on hardware-related news from around the web, including CircuitPython, Python, and MicroPython developments. If you'd like to contribute your own news or projects, you can edit next week's draft on GitHub, submit a pull request with the changes, or you can email cpnews@adafruit.com or tag a post with hashtag CircuitPython on Mastodon, Blue Sky, or X. Next up will be the state of CircuitPython, the libraries, and Blinka. This one is a quantitative overview of the entire project. We'll get a chance to look at the health of the project separate from our status update. First, we'll talk about the project overall and then separately discuss the core, the libraries, and Blinka. And I will note, we are doing the every 2 weeks meetings right now, and these stats do only cover the previous 7 days, so previous 1 week, so we do lose a couple of days of stats in there. So thank you to everyone who did contribute during that time. Your contribution is no less important. It just happens that it does not pull to the report the way we are doing things right now. So for overall this week, we had 12 pull requests merged by 5 different authors. The name in here that caught my eye as I don't recall seeing it before this week was Avon Stewart, so they might be a newer or less frequent contributor, or their username may have just managed to escape past my eye on past contributions that they made. Nonetheless, thanks to them, as well as all of our other contributors this week, whose usernames I do see in these lists more frequently from week to week. We had 5 reviewers, thanks to Scott, Maker, Melissa, Dan, Lady Ada, and myself. And yeah, that is it for overall. Dan, are you available to read the core section for us?
Sure. Okay. So in the past week, as mentioned, not in the past 2 weeks, 7 pull requests have emerged by 3 authors, and there were 2 reviewers. We again have about 25 open pull requests. We try to keep that at one page on GitHub so that there isn't an endless stream of things to look at. And there were 4 issues closed by 2 people and 4 opened by 4 people. And obviously, that's probably about double if you consider the last 2 weeks. There are 803 open issues right now in the CircuitPython repo. We keep track of those issues. We mark those issues with milestones. So for the 10.0 milestone, which means things that we want to fix for the 10.0 final release, there are 13 open issues. There are 2 open issues for 10.0x. That is, we're willing to fix them afterwards. Immediately afterwards, there are 70 issues open for 10xx, which we want to fix sometime during the lifetime of 10. And there are 7 open issues for CircuitPython 11. So those are things that we've deferred doing until CircuitPython 11, often because they are involve incompatible changes, or else we're planning to work on something major at that point. But we are willing to defer it. And then there are some other open things. 656 long-term issues, some support issues, some third-party issues, a few library issues. And there are no issues not assigned a milestone. That's because I triaged two of them today so that there wouldn't be 2. And that is it for the core of CircuitPython.
All right, thank you. Next up, we will talk about the libraries for CircuitPython. The libraries are separated into 2 different bundles. We have the Adafruit Library Bundle, which has 371 libraries in it currently, and the Community Library Bundle, which has 166, or actually I think maybe 167, because I saw one get merged earlier today, giving us a total of 538 right now, total libraries between both of those 2 bundles. These are things that are at the Python level. They are typically going to be either drivers or helpers drivers that interface with a particular piece of hardware, or helpers that let you work on a project at a bit of a higher level without worrying about some of the more minute details. Tends to be the 2 buckets these libraries fit into. Across all of those libraries, or I should say across of the Adafruit bundle libraries for the past 7 days, we had 2 pull requests merged by 2 authors and 2 reviewers. Thanks to Dan and Scott as well for contributing and reviewing this week in libraries. We had the 2 pull requests merged. Both of them were basically brand new, 1 and 2 days old. That leaves us right now with 53 open pull requests. The oldest one is a draft that is at 1,103 days. Newest one is 1 day. Issues-wise, we had 4 issues closed by 3 different people, 6 new issues opened up by 6 people, which leaves us with 736 open issues. There are 3 of those currently that are labeled good first issues, which you could find at circuitpython.org/contributing, which is the website where you should go if you are interested in getting involved in CircuitPython. When you first load that webpage, circuitpython.org/contributing, you'll see a list of links over to GitHub. These are open pull requests. These are waiting for a person to come along and actually review the proposed change. This is the first thing that we tend to point folks towards when they want to get involved with CircuitPython. So you can take a look through that list, find anything in there that is interesting to you or that you've got the hardware for, click through to GitHub, read up about what the proposed change is, and then review the code. You can review it for syntax, spelling, logic, anything like that. If you do happen to have the hardware that it's for, then you can go ahead and test it out on that hardware with a CircuitPython device. Once you have looked it over and tried it out, you can leave a comment on GitHub letting us know what you found when you looked it over, if there's anything you think that should be done differently, or any syntax or spelling issues. If you were able to try it out, let us know how that went, if it was able to run successfully or not, and like which versions of CircuitPython and everything you used. Once you get comfortable with that process, if you would like to get leveled up to leave official reviews on GitHub, we can work with you to make that happen. If you would like to start contributing some of your own code instead of reviewing, you can also access that from circuitpython.org/contributing. Along the top, look for the navigation and click over to the Issues tab. On that tab, you'll see a similar looking list of links over to GitHub, but these ones represent issues. There is no proposed change yet. They are waiting for a person to come along who is willing to work on that change and submit a PR with it. And that could be you if this sounds interesting to you. Process is fairly similar. Take a look through the list, find something that's interesting to you. It is especially helpful to have the hardware if you're going to work on changing the library, but it is not 100% necessary in all cases. Just depends a little bit on what the issue is. You'll have to read up on the individual ones. You can read through the issue, figure out what the change would be, and then submit a PR with that proposed change to resolve the issue, whether it's fixing a bug, adding a new feature or new example or something like that. We have guides to contributing to CircuitPython using Git and GitHub, and we also have folks who are more than happy to help out on the Discord. So if you would like to get involved, whether that's reviewing or contributing, and you're having trouble with any part of the process, version control or GitHub or pre-commit or anything like that, come say hi on the Discord. Let us know what you're up to. Let us know what kind of trouble you're having. We would be happy to help you out. We want everyone to be able to contribute in a way that works for them. Next up, I will tell you about Blinka. Blinka is our compatibility layer for CircuitPython on single-board computers like the Raspberry Pi. In Blinka land this week, we had three pull requests merged by three authors. Foamy Guy, that's, I should say, Maker Melissa, myself, and Avon Stewart. So thanks to them again. The Avon Stewart was our newer or less frequent contributor. We had three reviewers, thanks to Scott, Melissa, and Lady Ada. There are 11 pull requests that are currently open across the Blinka libraries, and in the past week, there were five issues closed by two people with no new issues opened up. There are currently 140 open issues, and there are currently 165 different boards that are supported by Blinka. That is it for the state of CircuitPython, the libraries in Blinka. Next up, we will get into Hug Reports. As a reminder, Hug Reports is a chance to highlight folks in the CircuitPython and community and beyond for doing awesome things. I'll start, then we will go down the list of people as they appear in the doc, in the notes doc, which is usually alphabetically, but we'll just follow the order if it happens to not be. If you are missing the meeting, just write that next to your name and the host will read your notes for you. Otherwise, I will call on you when your time is up. I will kick it off. So Hug Reports for me this week. Thanks to everyone who streamed or participated on CircuitPython Day, as well as another thanks to Liz for hosting many streams and organizing stuff throughout the day. Thanks to Sam Blenny for improvements to audio in the TLV320 library. And thanks to Dan for figuring out and fixing some bugs that were exposed by using .stars and the network, the Wi-Fi network together on the Funhouse. That thread went pretty deep. I would have had no real chance to dig that up. So I really appreciate you looking into it. Next up, I will pass it over to Dan.
All right, thanks. So I would want to thank Sam Blenny, who wanted to fix how volume was being set on the Fruit Jam, which uses the TLV320 audio chip. And so Sam looked deep into the TLV320 datasheet and made some changes to the library and cleaned it up and documented it better. And it's much the better for it. So thanks, Sam. And that's it.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Next up is notes from Sam. Sam Blenny says, a hug report to Dan, Tim, and Scott for help with dev tooling for core and libraries. And rounding out hug reports will be Scott. Scott has hug reports this week. Thanks to Liz for organizing CircuitPython Day, as well as everyone who participated. Thanks to Dan and Tim for keeping things going as I'm mostly out. All right, and that is it for Hug Reports, so we will move right along to status updates. Status updates is our time to tell folks what we're up to individually. I'll start, then we'll go through the list of updates alphabetically or as they appear in the notes doc. When I call on you, you could take a couple of minutes, talk about what you've been doing since the last meeting and what you'll be up to until the next meeting. If a discussion becomes too long for status updates, we can move it down to in the weeds. So again, I will kick us off. Over the past couple of weeks, I finished up the Fruit Jam OS guide, and that is now live, which I'm super excited about. I spent some time on Deep Dive on Friday and on my stream over the weekend digging into a bug that's in display text that results in different heights being used for label and bitmap label with certain fonts, which causes issue when you then try to place the label with anchored positioning. So this is a relatively subtle thing, but it's been a thing that I've known about for a while and been wanting to get some time to dig into, and I did finally do just that. I figured out, I think, mostly the fix for it, but I need to go back and unbreak some stuff that my fix ended up breaking. So I have made progress, but do still have a bit more to do until it is actually done. And then lastly, I have been playing around with some TTS stuff, text-to-speech. So I have been working on the Fruit Jam, and I have a couple of working proof of concepts that are able to fetch audio from IBM Watson and Amazon Polly text-to-speech services. So you send it a string, and it gives you back an audio file, either a WAV for IBM or an MP3 for Amazon. The Fruit Jam can download that and then play it out of the speakers that are connected, which is pretty cool. So I have a project in the works that will use that, but thus far, just successful proof of concept. So that'll be my project this week. Next up, I will pass it over to Dan for his status updates.
Okay, so the issue that had been mentioned about Funhouse problem with Wi-Fi and USB is complicated, and I just want to explain it briefly in a kind of a higher level way, because I think it's kind of interesting. So ESPIDF, which is the software that we use under CircuitPython when we compile for expressive chips, uses a simple real-time operating system called FreeRTOS. And FreeRTOS has tasks that all run in the same address space and then can preempt each other, and those tasks can have different priorities. It also has synchronization mechanisms like mutexes, which are ways to lock something that you want to share, say, with another task, but want to make sure that that resource is not used when you are using it, so that you don't interfere with each other, for instance, if you're two different tasks. So normally, tasks do run at different priorities, and you want a higher priority task to just take precedence over a lower priority task. However, there are cases where if you use one of these synchronization printers like a mutex, the lower priority task can actually kind of lock out the higher priority tasks and cause something called priority inversion, where even though the lower priority task is lower priority, it prevents the higher priority task from running. So there are techniques for getting around this. There's something called priority inheritance, where you raise the priority of a lower priority task temporarily to let it finish running. And FreeRTOS has such a scheme, but it's not... it's sort of simpler than some other operating systems might use. And what happens is that if you're a low priority task and you're holding two mutexes, and then you get rid of one, you stay at the high priority until you let go of the other mutex, or two or more. So you have to have zero mutexes held before you go back to your original priority. And so what I believe was happening is that there was a case in the Funhouse where the .store library would grab a mutex and hold it forever because it was locking the SPI bus, or a single-purpose SPI bus that was used to control the .store pixels. And so this eventually caused the USB task and the Wi-Fi task to not be kind of frozen out, and the board would crash. Or really, it would disconnect in various ways and not work right. So after several days of debugging this, I found I sort of got a clue myself, and I decided to look it up and found this explanation on FreeRTOS. So the simple fix is not to have the .store library grab the mutex forever. So I fixed that, but it's sort of a general problem, and we want to think about how we can kind of prevent this from happening in the future. So we have some ideas about that. For instance, taking out the manual locking mechanisms in I2C and SPI and using only context Python context managers might be one idea. So that's a kind of a long-winded explanation, but I thought it was interesting, to me at least. And then also in the past week, I fixed four 10.0 issues, and I'm continuing on the 13 or so issues that we have left so that we can eventually get to 10.0 final. And I did a bunch of reviews, both of pull requests and guides. And that's what I've done in the past week. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Next up is Sam Blenny, who's text only, so I'll read. Sam says, main quest, working to fix FruitJam USB host glitches, and side quest, improving the Adafruit CircuitPython TLV320 DAC volume controls. As mentioned earlier, thanks to Sam for working on that. Next up is Scott, who's out, so I'll read. Scott says, working on ESP IDF, update to 5.5. Also looking into expanding the ESP32P4 support, and will likely get a C5 and a C6.1 going as part of it. And that is it for the status updates this week. We have currently no topics for In the Weeds, but this is when we would discuss them if we had had any, which brings us to the wrap-up. And I will scroll myself there. All right, so this has been the CircuitPython weekly meeting for August 25th, 2025. Thank you to everyone who participated. If you want to help support Adafruit and CircuitPython, and those of us that work on CircuitPython, consider purchasing hardware from Adafruit, the Adafruit shop at adafruit.com. The video of this meeting will be released on YouTube at youtube.com/Adafruit, and the podcast will be made available on major podcast services. It will also get featured in the Python for Microcontrollers newsletter, which you can visit adafruitdaily.com in order to subscribe to that. The next meeting, as noted before, is going to be in 2 weeks, and that is the 8th of September, 8th of September, and that will be at the normal time, 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern, 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific on the 8th of September, so continuing that every two-week schedule for the meetings. The meeting, as always, is going to be held on the Adafruit Discord, which you can join by going to adafru.it/discord. If you would like to be notified about the meetings and any changes to the upcoming meetings day or time, then you can ask to be added to the CircuitPythonistas role on Discord. Thank you again to everyone. We hope to see you all in 2 weeks, and that is it for the meeting.